If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would find the book of Psalms, Thank you, Amy and Jay. I hope you know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The reason that Jesus came was for us. The reason he came was to offer his life a ransom for many. I don't normally, Psalm 34, if I didn't give you the chapter, I don't normally make this request, but I would ask you today, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never placed your faith in the Lord, would you listen today? Would for one time in your life, would you give undivided, concentrated attention? I want you to know that you've come to a church today that loves the Lord Jesus. Amen, church. Because we love the Lord Jesus, we love you. We may not know you. We may not know what you're facing. We may not know your past. We do not know your future. But we know your present. We know your present condition. And your present condition, if you've never been saved, is that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're not trying to offend you, not trying to belittle you. We are absolutely trying to tell you the wonderful words of life given to us in God's holy word. I beg you to listen today. Would you find Psalm 34? I want to preach today a message entitled, simply one word, fear. Fear. Every time I turn the TV on in the last couple of days and couple of weeks, I hear the phrase, the fear that is out there. The fear that is out there. I do believe that there is fear out there. I believe that after the fall of man, you can trace in the Bible that God came walking in the garden, waiting to talk to Adam and Eve. And the Bible says that when they heard his voice, they were afraid. And they went and hid themselves among the trees of the garden. Fear is the first enemy that attacked man after the fall. I believe today that fear is one of men's greatest enemies. Our country today, as we gather this morning, and I want to say I appreciate you gathering on the first day of the week. I appreciate the church that recognizes the authority of God's word when he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And I know that it's a little bit nervous out there and exciting out there, but I want to tell you as your pastor, I'm grateful that you obeyed God and are in church today. I really am. Our country today is afraid. Most of the fear of our nation today stems from the fear of money. Really and truthfully, our nation is afraid today because their God is under attack. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24. The Bible clearly identifies that there are two masters in the world. There is the master of the Lord Jesus, and then the very last word of Matthew 6:24 is the word mammon. Mammon, M-A-M-M-O-N, mammon. Mammon does not stand for man, as you would think. Mammon is the word money. There are two masters in the world. There is the real master of the Lord Jesus, and there is the imitating master of money. And Jesus himself said, no man can serve two masters. Preacher, is money evil? No. Preacher, is it okay to have money? Yes. Preacher, is it okay during these times to move our money and to be concerned about money and finagle money? Yes, you are to be a good steward of your money. But when money becomes, it becomes worshiped, then money, that which is not good or evil, then when it's worshiped, becomes an idol. Amen or oh me. And today, I believe our country is serving, for the most part, the master of money, and their master is attacked, and their master is eluding them, and their master is turning their back on them, and their master is depreciating, and there's great fear out there. Aren't you glad that your master's Jesus Christ? Never turned his back on me one time. Never depreciated one moment. Never lost any value is Jesus Christ. He is the true master. Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself. Somebody said this, I love this saying, talking about the incapability of money being a good master. They said, it's been well defined that money is something which buys you everything but happiness and takes a man everywhere but heaven. Money buys a man everything but happiness and takes a man everywhere but heaven. I hope and pray today that money's not your God. I'm telling you, if money is your God, then you have good reason to be afraid. But if Jesus Christ is your God, you don't have any reason to fear, for he's on the throne. Pastor, how do I know? How do I know if money is my God? I mean, I turn the television on and I see what the stock market's doing and I see what all is happening. And I hear these words like world economy and global economy and oil plummeting. And I feel all the pressure of that, Pastor. How do I know if money's my God? Well, I think that we're in a time to show us two things. Number one, you'll find in Psalm 34, verses 1 to 3, that you know if money is your God, if your peace is gone. If your peace is gone. You know, we all may have lost money or may be losing money, but mark this down. Everybody in the room that's invested, we may be losing money, but not everybody in the room has lost their peace. Okay? I've lost money. I mean, when you have little and you use little, it's not a lot, amen? But I've lost money, but I haven't lost my peace. You see, the reason the fear is out there, and all the economists are, the fear that's penetrating, and we've got to get the banks going to the banks, and we've got to get the credits going to the credits, and we've got to stop the fear. Well, my friend, if money is our nation's God, we will be filled with fear. Filled with, it's incapable of satisfying me as a man. It's incapable of securing me because it flies away. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But Jesus has been the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, he's a marvelous master. But if money's my master, then I'm afraid. So how do I measure that, preacher? Well, where's your peace? That doesn't mean I'm not concerned, and I may move money from one category over to another category. We're to be good stewards of that money. Moving that money is not a problem. Being concerned about that is not a problem, as long as it doesn't rob me from the peace and steadfastness and the trust and the obedience that I have in God's word and God himself. Pastor, how do I know? How's your peace today, church? How's your peace today? I think there's one other way. I think if you could hold your hand in Acts in Psalm and go to Acts, let me show you something. I want to say this. I believe God wants me to say it. I got to have you read Acts 26. As important as last week's message is, I need you to see Acts chapter 26. And I need you to pick up with verse number 10. I need you to read the Bible so you don't say this is the preacher's opinion. Please read in Acts chapter 26. Paul is here. Paul is before the king, and Paul's given his testimony. And Paul is talking to the king about his what he was before he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He picks up in verse number 8, and he's talking to the king, and he says, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily," this is Paul now speaking of his own opinion, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." Before Paul was saved, he did things contrary to Jesus. Look at verse number 10. "Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison? This is before he was saved. He put in jail God's people. Having received authority from the chief priest. Now, don't miss the next phrase. And when they were put to death, I gave my, what's your Bible say? Voice against them. Now, go back to verse number 10. Read the phrase. It could be read this way. And when they were put to death, I gave my vote against them. Paul would have never got his hands dirty with blood. He was of the Sanhedrin. He was not a man of blood. He would get them in prison. He would do everything. But he was a Pharisee above Pharisees. He was a religious man. He would never get his physical hands dirty. But he came over here and he said, I vote. I punch my ballot for them to be killed. And Paul said, because I voted in with my voice, for them to be killed, I'm guilty of the crime of murder. I did things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me, church. Let the preacher help you with the Bible. How do I know? I'm not talking to anybody in here that's not saved. If you're not a Christian, not descendant for you, you just take a time out. If you are a born-again believer, Pastor, how do I know if money's my God? Where's your peace right now? And let me ask you this. What are you going to vote for? You see, if my vote in our upcoming election is for money, then money is my God. Well, preacher, do you want to lose money? No, I don't want to lose money. But my friend, listen, I don't care if it's a mayoral election. I don't care if it's a district election. I don't care if it's a Senate election or a governor election or the president of the United States. If I vote for a candidate, or if I vote for economics, for a person who over here who denies Jesus Christ, denies God's word, thinks that abortion should be legal, which is murdering of our children, and thinks that homosexuality is not a sin, and I ignore all that and vote because he's going to get me more money, then I'm afraid that money has become our God. Okay. See, economics shouldn't be the lead factor for a Christian. Not for a Christian. Paul said, I never get my hands dirty, but I'll vote for it. I may never get my hands dirty in abortion. I may never get my hands dirty in homosexuality, but I'll vote for that man if they'll give me money. My friend, no, let's vote for righteousness. Let's vote for the master of Jesus Christ. He's got enough money to care for all of his children. You see, his money, no wonder our nation is so afraid. They're trying to hang on to their God, and their God's pulling away from them. But praise God, my God holds me. And he's not trying to pull away from me. He's holding me. And when I fall, he picks me up. And when I do wrong, he forgives me. And when I hurt, he heals me. And when I have need, he provides for me. My God's not trying to leave me. My God is hugging me during these times. And I invite you to know my God. It's a marvelous God in Jesus Christ. Marvelous God. Oh, church, do not let economics become our God. Pastor, money's not my God. I love the Lord. And I know that, but I'm still afraid. You know, I shouldn't tell you this because it may change your behavior, but when you park on this side of the building, I watch you walk in the building. You can't see into my office because I got curtains which don't let you see in, but I can see out. So I see that last minute little you do to the kids. And I see when the whole family gets out and dad comes to church like this. I know we're in big trouble, something's going on. And I know when the wife gets out and dad just sits there. And in a real big case is when the parents sit there and the kids come out flying. I see all that kind of thing. Most of the time, I pray for you as you walk in. I do. Sometimes I laugh a little bit. For the most times, I pray for you. I wonder what you've been through. You ever sit in a mall and watch people? I love to sit in the mall and watch people. I despise shopping. I despise it. I don't even like to shop for myself. Beverly, pick it out. If I don't like it, you can return it and we'll get something different, okay? I'll go and I'll sit in that mall and get me an Auntie Anne's pretzel. And I'll just watch people walk by. I love it. Could entertain myself for hours doing that. Anymore, in some of our malls, it's not safe to do that. So we got to change places. But I look at it and I think, I wonder what they've been through this week. I know some of you come without your spouse. And I think, I wonder what their home's like. Some of you share sometimes what you're going through. And I think, I wonder how they did this week. Some of you told me, well, Pastor, you got to help me. And I see you get out. You know, just because we gather in this church doesn't mean there's not any hurting people in this church. I'll tell you what, there's hurting people everywhere. Well, that's why we need to love one another. Fear, multitudes of fear. People fear for all kinds of reasons. Some fear for their sickness, some for their body, some for their mind, some for poverty. Some have a fear of losing their job, and that's a legitimate fear today. Fear of criticism, fear of temptation, fear of consequences of wrongdoing, loneliness. I put this one down. Old age, that's my fear, praise the Lord, old age. I know, you guys that tell me it's not that fearful, is it? Past, present, future. These are kind of things that would be ordinary fears, but sometimes people have strange fears. Sometimes people won't walk under a ladder. Sometimes people are afraid that something weird's going to happen or unusual is going to happen. It's not just a standard fear. It may be a sub. We have fears. You know, the Bible understood that, and the Lord understood that, and the Bible addresses fear a lot. You'll read these words. Fear not. Be not afraid. Be of good courage. Be of good cheer. Let not your heart be troubled. The Bible has great help. Pastor, what do I do with my fear? Well, I believe that nobody understood fear in the Bible like David understood fear. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a warrior. David killed who? Come on, Goliath. And the songs they would sing, they said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David had slain his 10,000s. David was the greatest warrior probably outside of Armageddon, when the Lord Jesus comes and defeats those great armies. David may be the greatest warrior to ever walk the face of the earth. And yet David was a man who was afraid. And in Psalm 34, David gives us a good thought of what we should do with our fear. And I want to help you, church, today. I want to help myself and I want to help others. Pastor, what do I do when I'm afraid? Well, go to 34 and look at verse number 4. David said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my what? Fears. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. If you got a pen or something, I want you to write down a couple of things. Let me give you some thoughts. Pastor, what do I do when I'm afraid? What do I do with this fear that's been in my gut for a long time? What do I do with this fear that not even my husband knows? What do I do with this fear that not anybody knows? God, Pastor, what do I do with this thing that just kind of comes and it paralyzes me? And it's stupid. I know it's stupid, but it's got a hold on me, preacher. What do I do? Well, the first thing David tells us to do is he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. Listen, if you're out there and fear has gripped you and it has you in its grasp and it's hindering you, don't just sit there and let fear destroy your life. David said, I'm not going to just be a pacifist about this. I'm going to take action about this. And so David began to be aggressive and David sought the Lord. Sometimes people will stay their whole life just paralyzed by this fear of something or whatever and let fear grip us. And we just think that life is going to be that way. David said, life's not that way. I'm going to go to the Lord and the Lord is able to deliver me from all my fears, in the church said. All right. What kind of fear are we talking about, preacher? Why would it be so important? I'm going to get that in just a minute. Pastor, how do I know I can trust the Lord with this fear? Well, look at verse number 8. David tells us why you can. In verse number 8, he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is, say it, good. You see, the teeth of fear is the lack of goodness. The reason we let fear be so dominant is because we are afraid that good's not gonna happen. I'm afraid that I'll be rejected. I won't be treated good. I'm afraid that this will happen and it won't be good. The reason we get so paralyzed is because we think evil is gonna happen to us, and that thought of fear that we don't wanna go through that just penetrates that, and we don't know what to do. My friend, you can trust the Lord because he is good and good all the time. And so you can go to him. Pastor, I don't want to go to him with petty things. Listen, if there is something that's keeping you from obeying the Lord, serving the Lord, or praising the Lord, it's not a petty thing. And the devil will use those fears that we think is just petty and nobody will care. And pretty soon, he'll let that divide you and divide you and divide you and hinder you and hinder you and pummel you and pummel you until you won't want anything to do with God because you won't think that God is good. You know, does anybody have a confidant, somebody you trust to tell a secret to? Have you ever told a secret and it got out? Has anybody ever done that? Nobody ever has had a secret? We're not raising our hand, preacher, because we'll do what Randy did to Beverly. Old Randy got Beverly good. Randy's in charge of a big children's program in our city, and he has a marvelous job. We went to see him, and he got Beverly, picked her out of all the crowds of the people, and brought her up to do the Macarena. I wish I'd have seen that. Man, I wish I'd have seen that. But she's never going back, Randy. I'll tell you that right now. Confidant, somebody you can tell something to. Let me tell you something. The reason that you have a confidant is because that person is gracious. You see, you'll trust somebody with petty things because you know they're gracious. You can trust God, he's gracious. You can take petty things. David said, I sought the Lord with my fear. I was aggressive toward him. I went to him. Why? Because he's good. And everything he does is good. And he loves me. And he's gracious. And I can trust him. How did he seek the Lord? We'll look at the rest of that verse. He said, and he heard me. He went to him in prayer. Oh, if I know anything about fear, is it keeps us from praying. It isolates us. It gets us to think that we're at the end of a long tunnel and nobody's there, and it's echoey and it's dark and there's no reach and no vision, and it's just something that I've got to keep inward, and it doesn't, and there's no hope or help for me. Well, let's go to verse number 15 and let's see what David said about that. Look at Psalm 34, verse 15. He says this, the eyes of the Lord are upon the, say it, church, righteous. If you're righteous in here, you've been saved, say amen. All right? So the eye of the Lord is upon you. His ears are open unto their cry. So his eye is on me. His ear is open unto my cry, or attentive unto my cry. Look at verse number 18. Not only is his eye upon me and his ears are open, but 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. David said, I sought the Lord because he's good and he's gracious, and I could pray to him and talk to him because his eye is on me, his ear is attentive to me, and he is nigh unto me. And so what do we do? And here's what the devil does. He'll let some kind of fear get into God's children, and it's like it puts us all the way out there, and he'll tell us, you're all alone. Nobody else has this thing. By the way, there's nothing new under the sun. So if I have a fear, somebody else must also have that same fear. Right? So don't let the devil tell you that garbage. That's not Bible. Over here, nobody, and you're just this or that. And we feel so put out that we won't even pray. And David said, oh no, I sought the Lord and he heard me. If you look up verse number 6, I love verse number 6. He says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his what? Troubles. Oh, he cried. He cried unto the Lord. He sought the Lord. Pastor, what do I do if I'm gripped with some kind of fear? What do I do if I have this thing that I'm battling with? What do I do? You go to the Lord. You pray. His eye is on you. His ear is there. He's nigh unto you. Look at verse number 4. And he delivered me. He delivered me. How, Pastor? How in the world does God deliver me from this? Well, look at verse number 7, and let's have some biblical understanding. David said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. How many know Jesus Christ? Lift your hand. If you know Jesus Christ, he encamps around you. What does that mean? Not only when you receive Christ, you become a habitation of God. That means the Spirit of God comes in you, and your body, which is not you, it's your spacesuit. The you is your soul and your spirit. You're not your body, but your body is possessed by the Spirit of God, and you become a habitation of God. So not only does God dwell within me, but David said, the angel of the Lord encampeth around me. Now, you want to talk about a military presence, there is no perimeter like the Lord Jesus's perimeter. And so when he encampeth me, there's nothing that comes through his perimeter unless he allows it. Well, Pastor, see, there you had me right there until there. But if God allows that to come into my life, I don't know about that. Well, let's go to Romans. I'll quote it to you. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for our good. So if God opens the path of his encampment and lets something through, the encampment was parted and the thing came through, then based on the Bible, not to destroy us, but for our good. Our good. Now, whenever somebody has anything good for you, you trust that person. You see, he delivered David. David said, he's encamped around me. Now, good night. If you would study the backbone of this passage, you would know that David is in the camp of Abimelech. David's close to being killed. He's got to feign himself mad to get out of here. He's in big trouble, but he says, God encampeth me. Look at verse number 16. Not only does God encamp me, but verse 16 says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. In the New Testament, it says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Oh, the nation of Israel came to that the Red Sea, and God said, stand there, don't move, hold your peace, I will fight for you. And he killed every single one of those Egyptians, drowned them in the Red Sea. See, not only does God encamp me, but God's face is set against evil. Now, his face toward me isn't set. His eyes are upon me. His ear is open. But that face against evil means he is our defender. Oh, he's a marvelous defender. Have you ever had Jesus Christ defend you in an area? Oh, you can trust him. I know that our politicians say, trust me, trust me. And then to some degree, we do trust them as they are ministers to us for good. But I want you to know, do not negate the trusting hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does he encamp, and not only is his face set against them that do evil. Look at verse number 20. Speaking of verse number 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is, say it, broken. Not one of them is broken. What does that mean? That means even when I'm going through the test and the trial that's for my good that we think is going to destroy, God has the capability to protect me and to protect all my bones. Man, that's fantastic. Amen, preacher. That was a good one. Pastor, why? Well, look at verse number 4. He said, and he delivered me from, what's the word? All my fears. All my fears. All my fears. Not just the standard ones, but those ones that wake me up in the middle of the night. And I know what it is to have nightmares. I've been through tragedy. I know what that is. I know what it is to have standard fears. I'm not above this sermon. I need this sermon more than anybody needs this sermon. David said, if you were to examine my life, when my own brothers hated me, when Goliath was going to kill me, when Saul tried to kill me, when the men tried to kill me, he said, if you would examine all of the fears that I have, not one of them could not be cared for by Jesus Christ. Now, church, listen. Whatever fear you're carrying today, the power of Christ to deliver you from that is available to you. Every single one of our fears. Every one of them. But the devil will say, oh no, you can't trust God with that fear. No, he's good and gracious. Trust him. Oh no, 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 no. You can't pray because you're so wrong with God that you can't even hear. God couldn't even hear. No, his eye is on you. His ear is there and he's right next to you. Matter of fact, if you know him, he's in the habitation. They're trying to hold on to their God. Our God just kind of holds on to us. I know this, when they were on the ark, nobody was gripped on the outside. Noah wasn't hanging on for dear life. Noah was inside the ark being cared for. Preacher, why would you preach that to us? Why would you break that? Sorry. Look at verses 1-3. Here's what fear does. How do I know? David said in verse number 1, I will say, bless the Lord at all times. At all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You see, here's what fear did in the life of David. It robbed him from the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. It robbed him from praising his God. It robbed him from the peace at all times. And David's talking to this group of young men who are under attack. And David says, if you will come and let me teach you the marvelous hand of our God, how he delivered me from all my fears and brought me from a position of non-praising, from a position of fear, from a position of not wanting to serve him, from a position of not being able to be encouraged or blessed by the Lord. And now he delivered me from all that, and I stand over here and I will bless him at all times. How? Because he brought that to the Lord Jesus and God helped him with all his fear. Now, fear is the opposite of faith. You can't have both. You see, if fear is going to drive me, then there's no faith. But where faith is, it overcomes fear. Pastor, how do I get rid of my fear? I go to God, I pray, I obey him by faith, and God will deliver me from all my fear. Listen, it's not time for us to be afraid. It's not time for us to be afraid. It's time for us to trust the word of God. God's people said, amen, okay? Pastor, can we be concerned? Sure, you can be concerned. Concern ought to make you want to pray. Fear will stop you from praising the Lord. Oh, I hope your trust is in him. Next time you hear some commentator said, we got to handle the fear that's out there, you just lift your hand at that TV and say, I'm not afraid. I know Jesus Christ. You say, do you do that? Absolutely. Do your kids think you're nuts? Absolutely. But I still do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I needed that verse. When I came across that verse in my study, I could hardly stay in my chair. I got up and I started walking around. David sought the Lord, and you delivered him from all his fear. And God, I just begin to think about our world. The ungodly, they're so afraid because their God's under attack. And their God is fleeing them in their difficulty. But my master is Jesus Christ. He's the true God. He's not fleeing me. He loves me. And he's capable, powerful, and strong enough to deliver me in this time of fear. And I know people have fear out there. I give into it myself sometimes. I want for God's people to know that they can come to you, God. They can pray. They can trust your word. And they can be secured from their fear. Heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you a question and talk with you just a moment. I want to talk to those that have never been saved, those that don't know Jesus. I wonder today, has fear gripped you? Fear of eternity, fear of life, fear of death? I'd like to introduce you to Jesus Christ. I'd like to let you know that if you'd be willing to receive him as your Savior, repent of your sin, He'd be willing to be your Savior. Pastor, does that mean my life will be great? No, it just means your life will be filled with peace. It may not be easy, but you'll have peace that passes all understanding. Many people in the room have already known the Lord. They've been saved. I pray today that you'd be willing to trust him. Christian, are you going through something? Is there a fear that's gripping you? Why don't you bring it to the Lord today? David said, I sought the Lord. Where did he seek him in prayer? You could seek him at this altar. You could come down today and fall on your face before God and say, God, I've been struggling with something. I want to turn it over to you. God, I've been struggling with this. I want to go about it your way. God, would you please deliver me from this? I submit it to you. Say, preacher, would he really do that? If he wouldn't have said it if he didn't mean it. God, I pray. Heavenly Father, in just a minute, we're going to stand and have our song of invitation. I pray, God, that you'd move on the people. Maybe somebody here needs to be saved. Maybe they need to get up out of their seat and come down to the aisle and take Brother Jay by the hand and just simply say, I need to be saved. God, maybe some of God's people need to come and pray. Come and seek the Lord today for comfort, for wisdom, for power, and to lay that fear down at his feet and be restored to a position of praising and rejoicing and being used of God in a mighty way. Oh, how I pray. Meet with us now. In Jesus' name, amen.